Gabriel Gums
only
of
if you forgive mine.
StealthBits.com. I love the name.
Yeah, great.
And I think I might have interviewed you guys last year, possibly. So tell us what you do.
So I am Gabriel Gums. I'm the Vice President of Product Strategy at StealthBits. And as an organization, we provide two primary things, data access governance, along with directory services threat protection.
Data access governance. I like the way that sounds. I have no idea what it means. So tell me what that means.
So attackers in general are after two things. They're after your data. And right. In order to get that, they require credentials of some sort. They
right.
need access. And so all of the different activities that govern how access is given out, distributed, managed, secured, and all of those different things from both a compliance perspective and a security perspective. We will perform audits of those things in an automated fashion with our software, as well as provide some additional security controls to help protect against abuses of those credentials.
Excellent. So when we speak about governance, I think, for example, about organizations such as EDM Council, Enterprise Data Management Council,
yeah.
I'm familiar, and they're doing a lot of great work around governance and entity data.
They are.
So how do you help your clients to find data, to use it from the proper applications and protect it, and then downstream to utilize it, to maximize and leverage that data for business purposes, obviously, as they continue to expand?
So it's a great question. One of the starting points of that is identifying those different discrete types of data, whether it's in structured or unstructured environments, and helping our clients understand the sensitivity of that data. Not all data is the same. Not all data requires protection the same. And that goes back and ties directly to the access to that data. So you may have Gabriel, for example, who is in the product strategy side of the house. I don't particularly have a reason to have access to the HR data and so forth. So identifying that data throughout the environment and being able to assign and tell our customers exactly who that data belongs to, why they should have access to it, and help them govern it from that perspective.
Now that must be the first step. You have to go through an organization, go through the data, and flag it, mark it,
tag it,
whatever you want to call it.
Discover it, classify it.
How long does that take?
There is no one answer.
All right.
That is going to be a byproduct of how large your environment is, as well as what type of data you are looking for. So, for example, let's say you are an organization that is going to come under GDPR rule. You're largely going to be focused on, say, EU citizen data. And that's one data type that you will want to go through your environment and be able to catalog, discover, classify, and tag, and so forth. So it varies. I mean, we've got customers who can perform that in their environments anywhere from several weeks to sometimes a little bit more than that. I mean, we're talking petabytes of data these days that organizations are working with.
Now, do you give them an interface to say, log in, mark, or do you work with them, or is it an automatic process? How does it work?
It is largely an automatic process.
So
we have, by default, a large number of classifications already defined within the solution.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so it'll automatically reach out and locate those types of data sets.
Yeah.
The customers can also define exactly what's important to them. So it may be something that is outside of what we would call, you know, just a discrete type of data set. That's something that's unique to them that they can define and say, I need to go look for these things.
Now, how do you handle a single point of failure if everything's defined, everything's locked down, everything's got a password, we got it all protected, and then we hand the keys to the head IT guy, and he's going to, don't worry, I got it from here, we'll take care of it, and he turns out to be a bad actor. Any redundancy in access things?
It's not just redundancy. In fact, I wouldn't say it's redundancy that we have. So as part of overall access, one of the key things we do is we monitor privileged accounts for activity. So those can be service accounts.
Oh, good.
Those can be accounts of an administrator. But we monitor those accounts closely, ensuring that there aren't lateral movements that should not be, privilege escalations that otherwise shouldn't occur. So we keep a very close eye on those types of things.
How do you keep track of the changing regulations? So, for example, New York State Department of Financial Services, the current regulation that's in effect goes into three phases, the third phase being third-party vendor. Third-party vendors are going to be very important in terms of managing that data. What is your strategy for that?
You're talking about 20 NYC RR 500. So
Perfect.
The answer to your first question,
wow,
how do I keep up on it?
Wow, he knows his stuff. Look at that.
He does.
The answer to the first question, how do I keep up on it, is it's good reading for me at night. Probably not for everyone. I'm going to short-circuit your question a little bit because there's three parts that they first rolled out. The entire regulation itself has three stages, whereby the first stages due somewhere in the next upcoming weeks. two of those are policy related. You have to have in place a CISO. You have to have in place an actual security policy. And the third one is you have to have in place a least access privilege model. Those were the first three things that they said you have to have in place. So you have to have basically something that says, here's what I'm going to do, and someone that enforces what's going to be done. And then the very first technical thing that they hit was ensuring that access was limited to just those who needed it. That takes you right to the third-party aspect of it. If you have a least privilege access model in place, and this is part of the reason why they put that up front in the regulation, you should then be able to identify what the third parties require access to and don't.
Excellent.
I have no more questions. I am so tired.
If you want to talk more policy, I could do that one all day.
Are you sure you're not a lawyer?
Stealth Bits has it under control. This is fabulous. Gabriel, what keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about?
One of the things that we do, as I mentioned, is directory service threat protection. And on our way to the show this week, we noticed there were a number of talks specifically around that area. An Active Directory botnet that was revealed. Active Directory backdoors.
Yeah, somebody talked about that, yeah.
Right. I mean, so these are the types of threats that are very, very difficult to detect. You know what I liked about the botnet one the most? It was ridiculously simple. In watching them present it, and this is the thing, you know, a lot of times as security professionals, we're always looking for you know, what's that next big hyped up kind of...
Right.
Right. This was so simple, so right in front of our face, and everyone is susceptible to it. It doesn't require a specific version or anything. I'll let folks go ahead and download the slides when they get a chance. I'll be doing a write-up ourselves in our Inside a Threat blog. But yeah, you know, that keeps me up at night. The growing number of sophisticated and unsophisticated attacks against Active Directory, which is where most organizations store their credentials, which again is that thing that bad guys are all coming after. I mean, even when you think about malware, you may not think of it as coming in to steal credentials, but it's leveraging your access to data.
Gabriel Gumm, stealthbits.com, StealthBits.com. Thanks for coming on SecurityGuyTV.com
at
Black Hat 2017. And Sue Glowacki, down at Disneyland, just calm down. This is the last video. You don't have to watch any more on Facebook, okay? Thanks for coming on. The show's been great.
Pleasure was mine.
And everybody wants to watch this, turn to SecurityGuyTV.com. We'll forward you to our live stream events. Of course, there's also SecurityGuyRadio.com, where all our 400-and-something podcasts from the past are also housed. So this has been great. I want to thank the Black Hat people for putting on the event and allow us to use this great setup here. So good night from Black Hat USA 2017 in Las Vegas and SecurityGuyTV.com. This is Paula. Take us out.